as one who has been entrusted with the onerous responsibilities of guiding our young republic through these difficult times, I must confess that it is always a source of deep pleasure and encouragement to me to receive assurances of the support of the people and their continuing determination to persevere until complete victory is achieved.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to yet another edition of the Biafra Fire Podcast. This is a podcast, as you already know, where I try to give a roundup of the news as it concerns Biafra and our fight for independence from the zoo called Nigeria. And please do forgive me because I haven't podcasted in a while. I had a lot going on and I took some time off to put some things in place, and I'm back now, and it's all that matters. Anyway, you can reach me on +614-690-59521. That number you can also use to get me on WhatsApp. So if you want to drop a message to me via text or call or WhatsApp, that's the number to use. And my email is juxtix@hotmail.com. I'll say that again. That's juxtix@hotmail.com. Look, a lot has been going on, and now, if you ever wondered, sometimes when you are a dispassionate observer looking at the country called Nigeria, it never ceases to amaze you just what goes on in that place, what the extent of the rot. It just never ceases to amaze me. Now, it's very clear that the Nigerian government has now come out in full force to side with the Fulani terrorists. Now, and I give you the backdrop. The issue here is that these Fulani headsmen are not usually, they are not from the southern part of the country, but because the southern part of the country is flush with vegetation, and because a lot goes, like, there's a lot of green grass for them to herd their cows, over many generations, over 100 years, they've been allowed to, just out of the graciousness and the courtesy of the southerners, these Muslim terrorists, Fulani headsmen as they are called, were allowed to graze their cattle without any interference. They were just allowed to walk around with them and just feed them, and they were never charged. They were never charged any fee, not one kobo for that favor. Now, over time, and bear in mind that usually they lived in the hinterland, they lived inside those bushes, in the bushes with their cattle, so they never had any form of interaction over those years with the locals. Now, and over time, as it became harder for them to feed their cattle, so they started moving in to the farms of the locals, who initially gave them some portion of their lands. And this naturally started leading to conflict. They had guns and they started slaughtering people. Hence the Benue massacre, where over 300 people were killed and counting. Now, how did the Nigerian government respond to this? There was not a single investigation, not one person arrested, nothing like that. What they did was the Nigerian federal government put out a media release saying that maybe it is better for those southerners, those locals, to learn to live with their neighbors. Now, this raises a lot of issues, but the main one is this. In the proper sense of the word, they are not neighbors. What they are, they are guests. They are visitors that we are allowed to live, that we are allowed to have their source of livelihood on a land that does not belong to them. Now, telling people that they are the problem, or telling people, the locals, that is, that they should learn to live with their neighbors, it ignores the fact that these terrorists are killing them, that these people are murdering them in their own house, and making it virtually impossible for them to have any form of conversation, any form of debate, if they wanted, with these people. Their houses are getting burned down, their schools getting razed to the ground, their kids raped, their parents slaughtered, children made fatherless and motherless. How can this be in a country that calls itself civilized? How can this be? Of course, it's not civilized. We know that Nigeria is not civilized. And when things like this happen, you just shake your head. Like, it's so, so sad. So, so sad. The level of corruption, the level of tribalism, it's getting to a stage that I don't even recognize this country anymore. I mean, I understand that being corrupt is part of life in Nigeria. Being unfair, being unreasonable. It's just the way things are done over there. But this level of depravity, this level of siding with one tribe against the other by the federal government, I've never ever seen it in my 29 years of life. This is just so worrisome. Hausas and Yorubas are the problem of Nigeria, and let Igbo rule. This is according to Balarabe Musa, former governor of Old Kaduna State and national chairman of the People's Redemption Party. I think this misses the point. The issue here, like I keep saying, it's not a question of tribe. It's not a question of who is right and who is wrong. It's a question of us all being a victim of a failed British experiment and coming to the realization that we have been bundled together in a country that can never ever be able to reflect the principles that we hold true. This is us coming to the realization that we cannot just keep being in Nigeria for better, for worse. Things are going downhill, and it is important for these tribes to come to a realization that it is better, much, much better for us to go our own separate ways. That's the only way that this killing, that this intolerance can come to an end. We have to split the borders to the pre-colonial lines, whatever that is, how it was before the Westerners came, how it was before Britain intervened. Where we are living separately, we believe in different things. We don't even believe in the same God. We have different outlook on life. There is no way that this experiment called Nigeria will work. And the sooner we realize it, the better for us. The acting director of Defense Information, Brigadier General John Aguim, has stated that the military will arrest the leadership of Mieti Allah and their sponsors once they conclude the ongoing investigations. The problem is, I don't understand how come the military is the one carrying out investigations into killings in a democratic society? How is it possible that the military has now taken the job of the police and are carrying out investigations? There is something called the Army Act in Nigeria. There is something called the Police Act. And in those pieces of legislation, it is clearly delineated. This is what the army is allowed to do. This is what the army is set up for. This is what the police is allowed to do. And this is what the police is set up for. This complete disregard for the written instruments that created the army or the police, this lackadaisical and tardy way of carrying on and just doing business, it gets to you. And therein lies the difference between Nigeria and Biafra. We will be true to our democratic institutions. We will be true to the charters that created institutions like the army and the police. This modeling, this meddling, this crazy way of doing things will not be obtainable in Biafra land when we find Biafra. Now, President Buhari said on Tuesday that he believed the Igbo had the right to the presidency and promised to back Igbo presidency at the right time. We don't want to be president of the Zoo called Nigeria. We want to have our own country. that is what we have. That is what we want, and that is what you have to come to terms with. It's not an issue of who wants to be the president of Nigeria, whether we're entitled to it. Of course, in Nigeria, as presently constituted, it should be the case that we, the Igbos, are entitled to the presidency. But of course, you are never going to let us have a crack at it. Why? Because you rig everything. You rig everything is rigged. The whole election is a sham. Whether it be local government, federal, state, everything is rigged. So we can never, ever be allowed to properly participate in the democratic process. And we want Biafra. And that is the way for us to go. In news coming out of Africa, Nigerian authorities has announced restriction on fuel tankers to designated routes across Lagos commercial capital after last week's tanker explosion, which killed over 50. Ethiopia's prime minister has asked supporters to scale down rallies and remain vigilant against enemies of reform. Violence in southern Ethiopia since June has forced more than 800,000 people to flee their homes, and they need food and other aid. And that's a report according to United Nations and the government. And in another news, a dead South African woman declared dead by paramedics after a horrific car crash was later found alive in a mortuary fridge. Emergency services said yesterday. That must have been a very, very scary ordeal. Now look, in the Nigerian nonsense in focus, I feel like talking just for a minute about how detached from reality Nigerian leaders are. It just seems that they just do not get it. Like, they just do not understand what it means to lead. We can keep clamoring about the lack of effective government in Nigeria. We can keep clamoring. People have been talking about this for years and years and years. I do feel, and this is how I feel. I feel that the leaders, for whatever reason, maybe it is because of the process through which they pass to get to the post. Maybe it's because they have to spend a lot of money in bribing people. Maybe it's because they have to do a lot of things that they're not proud of. But the fact remains that once they get there, they are completely numb to the demands of the people. Like, they do not understand what they are there to do. This is an issue. This is a cause for concern. When someone doesn't understand what he is supposed to be doing, it doesn't matter how much you yell at him that he is not doing it. He does not understand fundamentally what he's supposed to do. And that is the problem with politicians. Because when you hear them speak in Nigeria, when you hear them speak in that monstrosity called Nigeria, the level of detachment that they show, the level of detachment that their words and that they signify, it just shows you that a lot is not well, that a lot is amiss. And that will be the difference between Nigeria and Biafra. We will have leaders that actually understand what they're elected to do. We will have leaders that have an intellectual process that is actually in high gear. We will have leaders that respect the rule of law. And that is the difference between Nigeria and Biafra. The word for today is, if we don't believe in freedom of expression for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all. If we do not believe in freedom of expression for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all. That's according to Noam Chomsky. I'll see you next time. Bye.